with you this morning, and it's so weird at the same time. I'm saying it's so good to be with you, and you're not here. Many of you are online. Many of you will watch this later. But this is Easter. Nothing in the entire world should be able to stop Easter, and it hasn't, because he's alive. We're all right. And 3 weeks ago, I started this series that basically was What Now? And when I started that series, I honestly did not know what was next. And I can honestly say that I still don't know what's next. I kind of honestly thought we would be meeting together and that we would be singing and have a great crowd and be back together, and only to discover that no, we don't know yet when that time will take place. Only to discover that people won't get back this year. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And this morning, I'm going to talk about do not be afraid. Because I think there is a lot of fear going around right now. As a matter of fact, I looked up what the top 10 fears were in America in 2018. And here's what it said. Number one, I can agree with, snakes. Okay, I can get that. Number two, heights. I can kind of get that one. I have a tremendous fear of going across the Mississippi on that bridge. It freaks me out. Number three, I can understand, dentist. Dentist caused me fear. Now, I can't understand number six, clowns. I can see a clown. There's not a single bit of fear that comes into my heart. Number seven, public speaking. That doesn't scare me anymore. They say that's one of the greatest fears people have. Some people, number eight, were scared of the dark. Flying was number nine. And number 10, I really couldn't get. Number 10, birds. Who is afraid of birds? I don't get that one. Another list in 2017 had corrupt government officials was the greatest fear. While dying was number 48. Dying was number 48. I just don't get that. And one of the things that I've learned is I don't think those polls are real accurate. For instance, I believe Americans are scared to death right now. I believe many Americans have fear. And fear, what is the fear? It's the fear of dying. The word fear comes from a Greek word, phobos, which originally had its meaning as flight. Whatever caused you to run, whatever scared you, and that was your fear. And I kind of see how it came from that. But today, people struggle with fear. Just like I talked about with worry, people struggle with fear. And we need to understand that like worry, fear is a sin. Fear becomes a sin when it causes us to stop trusting God, when it causes us not to do what God wants us to do. Now, let me give you an example, kind of maybe explain it a little bit to you. Bad fear would be me refusing to get in my car and drive somewhere because I was afraid I might have an accident. Good fear would be me putting on my seatbelt, getting in my car, and trusting God to get me to where I'm going. That's good fear. Fear that says, put on your seatbelt. Some of you don't even fear that. But again, there is a thing called good fear, but bad fear is the one that paralyzes us. It's the one that causes us to not do what God wants us to do. And it's okay to be honest and say, I struggle with fear. Do you know, on my confession list, when I write out those things that I have to confess to God, I'm fearful is one of the top ones. So many times that I don't trust God with the future. That affects mine would be fairly unknown. This virus thing doesn't bother me so much. It's not knowing the future. Fear of the unknown. Now here's the cool thing. Do you know that there are 365 verses in the Bible that say, do not be afraid, do not fear? One for every single day. I just believe that God does not want His children, Christians, to live in fear. And yet I think right now, so many people in the world, including Christians, are scared to death. They're scared to death of this virus, this COVID-19. And it's kind of been good for me because it shows me that the world and Americans still have a fear of death. I mean, why else would we say groups of 10 could no longer meet? We wouldn't do that for just any reason, but the fear of passing on a virus would keep us from doing that. Listen, no church on Easter, no school, no sports, no Olympics, and get this, no eating out. Now, eating out is a real fun thing to do. I'm not talking about getting it to go. Going out and sitting down and letting someone else clean up your mess, man, that's the way to go. Yet, we're not even having that opportunity. And here's the tragedy. There are many people, millions of people, who've lost their job over this thing. Now, I think it's important to do those steps. I'm not suggesting we should meet today. We have to understand, we do have to concern ourselves with our brothers and sisters who may be vulnerable and we may be infected. I'm not getting all to that. I'm just saying right now, the reason we're not doing this, we're not meeting together, is because basically we don't want people to get sick and die, right? I mean, that's why I'm doing it. I checked this morning, in the world this morning, 1,792,799 people have been infected. In the world today, 109,786 people have died. Now, I know people die from other illnesses, but folks, that's a lot of people who have died from a virus. In the U.S. this morning, 533,115 people have been infected that we know of, and 20,580 people have died. Now, the only way that really bothers you is if you know one of those people that died. And in reality, I think this virus thing to me has shown me how afraid people really are to think about death and to even be willing to die. And you know, it really kind of hit me. This week we went to Hot Springs and we went to Sam's. You just have to eventually go to Sam's or Walmart. I mean, we shop locally, but we needed some things, and so we went to Sam's. And we're in the store, and no, I did not have my mask on at that time. I'm getting to today, I hear from my son. But we were back in the meat area of Sam's in Hot Springs. You kind of know where that area is if you've been there. And my sweet wife goes walking down one of the aisles when all of a sudden I hear this woman saying, "Get away from me! Get away from me!" And I look over and it's my sweet. Now, I can understand a woman saying that if I came towards her, but she was terrified of Julie. And she's saying, "Stay 6 feet away. Stay 6 feet away." Now, I'm not making fun because this lady really and truly was concerned. Her husband has issues. But the thing that I heard was fear. And I'm here to tell you, we can't live our lives in that kind of fear. And I believe the Easter story, Jesus is saying to you and me, He's saying to everybody, do not be afraid. And I believe the way to get rid of the fear is by getting rid of the fear of dying. So we're going to talk about death. And you know, it's kind of been a rough year, rough couple of years for me, beginning with me losing my father. And then I buried my cousin, Lynn Trammell, earlier this year. And then Doug Clenny, I had conversations with Doug when he knew he was dying. And the cool thing was, he wasn't afraid when he talked to me about it. I talked with Betty Prince when she knew she was dying, and never since a fear of death. And both of those people, their concerns were how they might die, not if they died. And you see, I just a month ago today lost my mother-in-law. On March 12th, Julie's mom left this world. And so this is kind of personal to me. You either deal with your fear of death. If you can deal with your fear of death, you can deal with anything. If you don't have to worry what's going to happen or where you're going to go, you don't have to fear anything. And this story in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 57, I'm going to kind of walk through this passage, and then we'll get to the three application points of this passage. So look at verse 57. It says, as evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and he wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. So a couple things about that. Jesus had died, and Joseph was a religious leader, and we're told he's a very rich religious leader. He had only become a follower of Christ, and so he went to Pilate and requested that he could take the body and give it proper burial. You see, the Romans, if you didn't do that, they would just leave it on the ground. They would just leave the body, they'd take it off the cross, they'd leave it on the ground, they would never touch it, it would be there. And that was not good for Joseph. He went and requested with Nicodemus, a religious leader and follower, he requested for the body. They would have taken the body of Jesus, they would have washed it, they would have dried it, they would have wrapped it in this cloth, and they would have put this ointment. It says they had 75 pounds. They would have wrapped him, and then they would have placed him in a cave. I was just curious. I get curious, and Google is a wonderful thing, and I Googled about how much 75 pounds and the ointment would cost in a grave. And one person I read said it's about $150,000 in today's money. This Joseph guy made an incredible sacrifice to make sure that Jesus was buried properly. And kind of the cool thing is you have Mary Magdalene and you have the other Mary following them with the body of Jesus. Now, what's also interesting is that Roman law prevented you from publicly mourning the death of an executed criminal. And so just picture these two guys quietly carrying the body of Jesus and these two ladies following, not able to really express themselves because of the Roman law. I just can't imagine what was going through their minds. This one they loved named Jesus is dead. They're taking him to bury him, and what was the future like? I'm sure they were concerned. Now, if you look at verse 2, through the end of the chapter, you see the fear that the religious leaders had. It says the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees, they went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead." Now here's what I want you to notice. "So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Now that's really important. You see, there was this fear among the religious leaders, the Jews, that somehow that the Jews, the disciples, would steal the body and keep this problem for them continuing. And so they went to Pilate, and here's the significance. If the seal of Rome was on that tomb, it was considered an offense against Rome to break the seal. Those Roman soldiers were put there to guarantee that no one would get the body out of the tomb. And they had everything to lose. If the body would have been stolen under their watch, their fate would be execution. So you see the fear of the religious leaders. They did not want this man named Jesus to continue in the memories of the people. So they went, and Pilate did just what they asked. He went and he put guards there and he put the seal of Rome. Then you get to verse 28. It says, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb." Now, I'm trying to figure out what they are thinking. They know he was crucified. They know he is dead. And why would they be going out? Well, another gospel tells us they were going because they didn't get an opportunity to bring perfume and spices to the body. They were going out to do that on the next day when it was legal. It was the Sabbath, and they didn't have time to do that. So they were going truly expecting to find a dead man they loved, and basically say their goodbyes. And then in verse 2 it says, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it." Now it's important for us to understand, the angel rolled the stone away not to let Jesus out, but to let the ladies in. And he comes and he does that, and it tells us his face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And then I love verse 5. "Then the angel spoke to the women, 'Don't be afraid.'" Are you afraid? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid of the future? Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And then he said, "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here." I can't imagine what those ladies would have been thinking about at that time. "He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb, They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I think it's important for us to understand that twice he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And I can only imagine that those ladies were fearful. I mean, first of all, what had happened was impossible. Dead people do not come back to life. I think I would be both joyful and fearful at the same time. And they were only coming back to show their love and devotion to him. Because you see, anointing a body and doing those things after they've passed away is a way to show your love and your devotion and your respect for the person who had passed. And all of a sudden, he's not there to do that. It's kind of like we place flowers on graves. And these ladies are just bound to be fearful a little bit. But notice what the angel said to the women. He said this about the resurrection, and we need to remember, first of all, he says, do not be afraid. The resurrection of Christ should bring joy, not fear. The fact that he can defeat death is a big deal. The second thing they said, he isn't here. And if you say he isn't here, that means you're saying he's alive. You see, the resurrection is not about a dead man. It's about a man who's very much alive. And then the angel said, come and see. Check the evidence. I can't tell you the number of people that have come to Christ trying to prove there's no evidence. And then the fourth thing he said, go quickly and tell. Spread the joy. And their response? They obeyed. Now I thought about that this morning. I thought about how quickly have we been to tell others? How quickly are we to tell others what Easter is really all about? And it's so hard for some people because of the secular traditions we have that sometimes people miss the real meaning of Easter. And the real meaning of Easter is that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. And because Jesus is alive, there's nothing in the world that should cause you to live in fear. Let's just get practical about death. Death is a word that means separation. If you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about separation. What is it a separation of? It's a separation of the spirit and the soul of a person from its body. I was there when Julie's mom died. I was there when my father passed away. It's the strangest thing. Because they're theirs in the spirit and soul one moment, only for a separation to take place. And then that body is no longer that person. It's a weird deal. And we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. You go to the funeral home nowadays and they want you to glamorize it, and you don't even use the word death. David Jeremiah said this. He says, is death your favorite subject? It's not mine either. I'm not trying to cloud up your day, but I want to point out that for many people, death is the ultimate fear and ultimate confusion. When someone dies, I hear a lot of people saying he's in a better place, even though before death they tried with all their might to pray him away from that place. Have you ever thought about that? We pray, please, please keep them here with us. And then when they die, so he's gone to a better place. Well, if it's a better place, why You see, we need to understand that there's a lot of confusion. As a matter of fact, people today don't use the word die. When we talk about Julie's mom, we talk about she died. Why do we use the word die? Because she died. But our culture likes to keep it, you know, we say things like passed on. We say went to a better place, went to sleep, was called home, departed this life. What is it with our culture not being able to deal with the word die? It's only mentioned 900 times in the Bible. And let's just get practical about this thing. First of all, we need to understand the first thing is do not be afraid to die. But the truth, every single person will die. We've got to get a hold of this, that part of living is dying. It's a natural part of life. And yet we're afraid to talk about it. We're afraid to tell someone if you die without Jesus, we're so scared we're going to offend someone that we don't even talk about the truth. Everybody's going to die. And if you die without Jesus Christ, that's not a good thing. One guy said it this way. It's a math formula. If you have been born only once, you have to die twice. If you have been born twice, you only have to die once. What am I talking about? Well, the Bible teaches that you are appointed to die once, physical death. And then, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual death that will take place. But the Bible also points out that if you know Jesus Christ, you die physically, but you don't die spiritually. Listen to what it says in John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." And then he said, "Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe that if you know Jesus Christ, that you won't spiritually die? Do you wonder what will happen? I hope not. There is nothing sadder to me than people not knowing what's going to happen when they die. If you know Jesus Christ, you only die once. And you live forever. And we don't need to be afraid of death." Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he be set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." Do you fear dying? Now, I have my opinion on how I'd like to go. How many would like to go in their sleep? That's everybody. Let's just be honest. But I'm not scared. I know where I'm going. But just a little concerned about how I get there. But there are a lot of people that have absolutely no clue where they're going. And they're hoping that they've been good enough, and they're hoping that their religion or their good works is going to get them there. But the truth is, it only will be available, eternal life, to those who put their faith in Jesus. The only way. He died for us. He took our place. If you trust in Him, you can be delivered from the fear of dying. So that's the first thing. Don't be afraid to die. Don't want to, but don't be afraid to. Second thing, do not be afraid to live. Remember, I said 365 verses that say, do not be afraid. I think what I see happening in our world today is people are afraid all the time. And I don't think that God wants us to live in fear like that. He wants us to wash our hands. I don't know if I coughed properly just then. Did I do it correct? Okay. He wants us to keep our 6-foot distance. But you know, sometimes when I'm walking and not paying attention, I may or may not be 6 foot. But you do your best. But you don't live in fear. See, to live in fear is to say, God, I don't trust you with the future. Do not be afraid to live. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. It bothers me that so many Christians are scared to death, and this is the real underlying issue of dying. My fear is that I might cause someone else to die who doesn't want to die. Don't live in fear. And please understand, if you're obsessed with fear, if you can't get outside, if you're just emotionally distraught, there are professional counselors that can help you, because God does not want you to live that way. Do not be afraid to live. I think personally the way you deal with that is you read God's Word, you memorize God's Word, you meditate on God's Word, you understand the plan. And then the third thing, do not be afraid to serve the Lord. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 58, it's one of my favorite parts. Paul wrote this, and he's saying this in verse 55. Oh, death, where is your victory? Now, I love that. He's taunting death. Where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. And then I love verse 57. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death.
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, in Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear sin or death. We are given the victory. But look what he says in verse 58. I think this is where Christians miss it. So, because death has been defeated, because sin has been forgiven, he says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be what? Strong. Be what? Immovable. And then look at that next word. Always work. I do not believe, if you believe in the resurrection, that God wants you to be an absentee Christian from His church, the body. I believe that God's got work for every single person who believes in the resurrection. We want eternal life. We want forgiveness of sins. But not that church stuff. He says, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. And then he says this, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I just love that. I know a lot of people, oh, I believe in the resurrection. Are you involved in church? Oh, I'm not involved in church. I'm busy. I'm a Christian, but I don't have time for the church. The church is the body. You know, listen, it was cool to be the church and deliver eggs to kids who were at home to hunt. I got more blessing out of that than they did. Little Michael, I watched him run looking for his 19 eggs. But you know, it required I get out of my house and care about somebody else. I really believe if you believe in the resurrection, you're going to get up and do something. And you're going to understand that if you do something like put eggs for someone who never comes to church, you never know how that's going to influence them in a positive way for the glory of God. I'm saying this. This too shall. And some of you need to get involved in the church. And when I say church, I'm saying people. I don't know what excuses you have, and I really don't care. I truly believe, do not be afraid to serve the Lord. Maybe you think you don't know enough. Maybe your past you think is too bad. Come on, give Jesus a break. That's why He died. Listen, I want to close with this. This death thing is incredibly personal to me. A month ago, we said goodbye to Julie's mom. She has been a good friend of mine and gave me the greatest blessing I had in my life, and it's my wife. But I'll never forget the day. It was around lunch on a Thursday. She called us. We were doing the garage sale, and Julie came up here to help on her lunch break, and she called us to basically tell us she was dying. Not one bit of fear, no tears at that time, and she wanted us to get there. So we started getting ready and left that Sunday morning after church. Church out there that night. And we went in that night and she's very much alive. And you know, what's strange lately is I've had the privilege of talking to people who literally had hours before they were going to die and knew it. But we went in and the first thing I heard her say to Julie was, I should have told more people about Jesus. You know, here she is at the end of her life. She didn't have to say she should have been a better mother-in-law. She was as good as they came. Or a better mom. But you know what her real regret was? And she told people all the time about Jesus. She wished she had told more. Incredibly cool that every one of my four kids got to talk with her, knowing that she was dying. And to see a woman afraid to die, little bitty lady. I would go in there and sit by her on the bed, and she would look at me and say, well, what are you going to say at my funeral? And we would laugh. So I'm going to talk about Jesus. But the thing that overwhelmed me was she had no fear. She was ready. When I lost it, I can't remember what day it was. I was talking with her, and we would take turns, and I was sitting there, and I'd been pretty good. And she looked at me, and she said, I'll tell your dad hi. That got me. It wasn't a fairy story to her. She was going to tell my dad hi. And that's an incredible, incredible comfort to me. Because, see, she was going there, and she knew it, and she knew who she would see. Are you afraid of death? If you are, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Are you living in fear? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Do the best you can. Don't be so concerned about the virus that you get run over by a car. And then finally, are you serving the Lord? He did all that for you. What excuse do you have not to do anything for Him? You see, Easter is good news. Do not be afraid. Let me pray. Father, I thank You for what I get to do. And Lord, doing it all on this video stuff is, first of all, painful for me to listen to because I sound like a hick. But Lord, it also is so important because I know people who they're afraid to die. And Father, I have the answer. The answer is Jesus. And Father, I pray that every single person that's listening to me this morning is not afraid to die. Not that they want to die or are concerned how they might die, but Lord, I pray that no one is afraid to die. And I pray if they are, that they would talk to me or the many good people in our church who can explain to them the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those who are living in fear. And Father, that is not how you want any of us to live. We're to do the best we can and trust you with the future. That's all we can do. Help us not to quit living. And then finally, Lord, I pray that that resurrection, that forgiveness would motivate us to get up and do something for you. And that we would understand every single thing we do for you, you will bless. Father, I pray that this is probably going to be one of our best Easters because we are forced to listen to you. You've taken away all the other distractions. Just help us to listen to you and to live for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.